Welcome to New Life Church teaching titled, Prayer, Who Needs It? Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
But it's all released in the spirit and the power of prayer. You know, prayer is a topic that is, it's kind of like a hot air, but it's kind of like a balloon. You're trying to keep it in the air all the time for people to pray. And, you know, what usually happens in prayer is people get sleepy. Call it sleepy prayer. Anybody ever had sleepy prayer? And we think, well, what good is the prayer doing? Because it all makes us sleepy. And, you know, Jesus told the disciples at one time, he said, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they went to sleep on him. And he said, could you not just wake up for a little bit? You know, and so something happens and in prayer. And but for prayer, something that we talk about and that we utilize and we do so much, sometimes it loses the understanding, it loses the emphasis. And this church has been declared to be called a house of prayer. Pastor and Elizabeth asked me to bring a message on prayer this morning to help bring it back to our attention and back to our focus. And just as the Lord did with the disciples, he'd go through Jerusalem and he'd do a miracle. He'd heal somebody and he'd do all kinds of stuff. And then at night, they'd go back to the mountain to build a campfire. And the disciples would say, well, Jesus, what meaneth thou this? Well, I don't know if he said King James or not, but they said something like that. And they said, Jesus, what does this mean? So Jesus always did the impartation of the miracle first, and then he did the teaching second. So the Lord gave us a demonstration. There was a miracle took place in our front of our eyes this morning. There's a transference. There was an anointing to bring a revival to this county on that young man. He just passed it on to our young people. Miracle right before your eyes. There's a mantle passed. There was a brand new mantle issued for Graham and his wife in Las Vegas. That mantle was issued. God did the operations of the power of the Spirit first, and now we're going to do just a little teaching on it. So it's in light of that that I do this teaching. And we talk about prayer. Who needs it? Well, I think we all do. The next thing is intercessory prayer. What is it? Intercessory prayer. Who are these crazy people that call themselves intercessors? Wow. Okay. Unanswered prayer. Why do we have unanswered prayers? Anybody asked yourself that question? Why do we have unanswered prayer? Why are we to pray the Scriptures? Now, I'm going to use a lot of Scripture this morning. And I want us to understand about prayer. I'm going to be interjecting that last line. Why do we pray the Scriptures? Sometime in sleepy prayer, what happens is we run out of a shopping list. Milk, eggs, bread, bacon, and all the little pygmies in Africa, right? We run out of everything in the missionaries. What happens in a sleepy prayer is we run out of what we are praying for, not understanding necessarily the full purpose in prayer. And I hope at the conclusion of this teaching, and I will move through it quite rather quickly for the sake of time, is for us to see the purpose of praying and also considering praying Scripture. So that is our task at hand this morning. Now, this is said by Corrie Ten Boom. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Sometimes we resort to prayer after everything falls apart. When in fact, if prayer had been the steering wheel, maybe it wouldn't have fell apart. Right? Wouldn't you love to live life in a way that you didn't need delivered from something? Right? Some things can be avoided. This is another one I think is great. History is silent about revivals that did not begin with prayer. Who said that one? Edwin Orr. He's the revival guy. And history's silent of revivals that did not begin with prayer. Look at this one by A.W. Tozer. To desire revival and at the same time neglect personal prayer is to wish one way and walk another. That's interesting. Look at this one. Now, this is my favorite. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Come on, somebody. Never heard of this guy, have you? Thomas Watson. Huh? What do you think about that one? See, I could stop right there and you already got it. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. So what are we doing with prayer? We're fetching. Redneck's been doing it a long time. We've been fetching. We're to pray. We're to commission. We're to call. We just commissioned several young people today. It's a big transaction just took place in the heavens this morning, right here, right before your eyes. Hope you didn't miss it. We can see what is this purpose of prayer. Prayer, who needs it? I'm going to go over some little things. I'm going to move right quickly. Keep in mind praying scripture. Who needs prayer? Those that are in spiritual leadership. Those that are in spiritual leadership. Look at the scripture. And he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your what? Through your prayers. So that thanks may be given by many persons on behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of my goodness. You see that? That's the Apostle Paul. He is declaring here, he is showing us that favor can be bestowed upon another through prayers of many. We just prayed for some young adults this morning. Did you know that favor is bestowed upon them on their behalf because many of us prayed for them? It's what the Bible says. Is it important that it happened? Yes, it's very important. Prayer is the greatest weapon of the believer. It's prayer. Which happens first, prayer or the event? Now watch it. Who else needs prayer? We do for what? For divine protection. 2 Thessalonians, Paul again. Pray for us, he says, that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. How do you pray that scripture? We pray for Graham and Rachel, that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that Graham and Rachel will be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect Graham and Rachel from the evil one. Glory. Did anybody feel it? Did you feel it? You see, we got prayer, then we pray scripture. I'm going to show you why we pray scripture. You personalize it. Personalize it to yourself. Personalize it to who you want to pray for. You personalize it to a nation, to a country. You learn to pray scripture. Prayer, who needs it? We do for the boldness to speak the truth. Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming that it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How do we pray that? And I pray on Luke's behalf, that utterance may be given to Luke in the opening of his mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which Luke is an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, Luke may speak boldly as Luke ought to speak. Did you feel it? Did you just, I'm sorry, Luke, you just got, you're the recipient of that scripture. Will it return void? No. It will not return void. Prayer, who needs it? I do when I'm sick. Acts 28, 7 through 9. And it happened that the father of whoever that was lying in bed afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him. And after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. Isn't that amazing? He went in to see him, and after he had what? He had prayed. The Lord healed him. Prayer, who needs it? We do for what? For unity. John 17, 20 through 21. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, and I in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for new life, those that are at New Life, who believe in me with their word, that New Life may all be one, even as you, Father, and I in me, and I in you, that New Life also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Word of God. Did you know that's true? Prayer, who needs it? We do, for guidance. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will do what? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have ceased not to pray. Lord, we pray for Alan and his sickness, that you'll heal him. Amen. I'm feeling the best right now. I felt all week. Amen. So we see we need him for guidance. We also need prayer for wisdom. Now watch this one. James 1:5-6. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him do what? If you lack wisdom, you do what? You ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let Alan ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. For some of y'all have been asking that one. Raise your hand right quick. I'm going to pray that one over you. Wisdom, raise your hands. You know who you are. It's kind of been in your heart here. Lord, you see all these hands. Please keep them raised. This is for God's benefit, not mine. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let all of y'all that have got your hands raised up ask of God, who gives all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Right there she is. She's done right there. That's coming your way. It's been sealed. It's been done. It's been declared. It's Word of God. I didn't say it. Word of God said it. You responded to it. You raised your hand. God says that he might give it to you. Didn't say that. Said he will give it to you. How can I walk in that authority? Because God said it. God said it. I believe it. The only thing I got to do is exercise what God said. There's one thing to say you believe all this, and it's another to start praying it. What's this one? I felt the wind right there. Did you feel that in Ray? He come from that way. I can feel the Lord. He just, see, when you read Scripture, if you want to speak any time, just read Scripture. It works every time. The Holy Ghost is just there on God's Word. Prayer, who needs it? We do, so we will forgive our enemies. This is a good one. I knew you would all be clapping over this one. Acts 7:59-60. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. Stephen forgave those that were slaying him. It's forgiveness. Say forgiveness is freeing. Say forgiveness is a big deal. It is. Now, that was prayer. Who needs it? This one's intercessory prayer, and what is it? I do not claim to have all the information on this one. I'm still viewing intercessors. I'm still observing them. One time they were an endangered species. When I discovered some of them, how they act, I knew why. You ever been around a bunch of happy intercessors? I mean, tell you what's the truth. If you get a hold of some real ones, now they'll back you up against the wall is what they'll do. You think you, that's exactly right. I'm okay, Lord. I'm going on here. Intercessors are not moved by evidence. Come on now. Where are you, intercessors? If you're getting discouraged, you're looking at the evidence. Intercessors are not moved by what they see. Intercessors declare the word of God. Intercessors declared what God said. That's what intercessors do. When you start looking at the evidence and you start getting discouraged, if you're a discouraged intercessor, you're looking at the evidence more than the word of God. That's just the way it is. Evidence does not always equal the truth, but the voice of the Holy Spirit is truth. The accumulation of evidence does not equal a spiritual truth. Can you hear me? The accumulation of evidence does not equal a spiritual truth. What equals a spiritual truth is what God's Word declares. Are you with me here? Can you see how important it is that we know God's Word so we can pray God's Word? If you see a little bit of evidence, go to the Bible, pray God's Word to it. If you say, Alan, I've run out of words to pray, that's all right. God's got a book full of them. What's this one? Intercessors intercept things in the spirit world. That's what happens. They catch the spiritual frisbee before it hits the ground. That's right. Intercessors intercept. That's what they do. They intercept things before they happen. Can prayer change things? Okay, prayer can change things. Somebody had to catch something to change its direction. Intercessors don't shoot with shotguns, they shoot with rifles. They identify their enemy, and they shoot her down. Do some get through our prayer? Time from time they do. But it's real. I'm just sorry to report to you, and I wish you would, and I wish we could sit down and just watch cartoons or something. But it's real. Spiritual warfare is real. And without the intercessors, we are dead in the water. Prayer is the most important arsenal that we have. Intercessors intercept things in the spirit world. They can change the outcome through prayer. Jesus is the example of the intercessor taking everything to the cross. Did Jesus change your outcome? Yes. Did Jesus intercept your destiny? Yes. Is Jesus sitting on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for you right now? Yes. Just glory, hallelujah, somebody. So Jesus is just asking us to join Him in intercession. Jesus intercedes to God the Father with His Word. That's what He does. Watch this one. Intercessors. You cannot be an intercessor, which is faith, a prophetic act, and a judge at the same time. Won't work. You can't pray for deliverance and judgment at the same time. That water won't come out of that spout. An intercessor is someone who doesn't want somebody to get judgment. An intercessor is someone who doesn't want somebody to get what they deserve. You're intercepting destiny. You're intercepting. You're praying on their behalf. I promise you 90% of the people that are sitting in here right now are here because somebody prayed them in. I guarantee it. My grandmother prayed for generations after. She was a genealogist. She prayed generations forwards and backwards. That's all she done. I mean, my kids, grandkids, and their kids, I don't know how far ahead she went, but she prayed them. She covered them. She claimed them, and she just prayed them. That's what she done. 90% of everybody, the reason you're sitting here is because somebody prayed you in. That's just the truth. You think you finally got it. No, you didn't have no choice. Grandma stacked a deck against you. What grandma wants, grandma gets. Amen. Now, there's two basic fields out in front of us here. I can't develop the reason I came up with these percentages, but I believe it to be true out of experience. The first field's a battlefield. This is where we live 98% of our time. We have to learn how to maneuver here because it's real. It's in the workplace. It's in the world. You can go to Walmart and somebody's going to fuss at you before you get out the driveway. This is a battlefield. God's asked us to be his agents. Now, look here in this scripture. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to resist him. We can see in the battlefield that Satan's always around you. A lot of people, they've come to me and say, well, Alan, I think the devil's after me. I'm like, oh, my Lord, you just now figured that one out. He's been after you the whole time. He said, well, I thought I was saved. I said, you are saved. He's just trying to let you be saved and miserable. He doesn't want you to be saved and victorious. You do have an enemy. I am so sorry. There's going to be a day I'm going to look you in the eye in heaven. I'm going to say, boy, ain't you glad that one's over? I can't say it yet. There is an enemy. He has been defeated. But only when you take God up on it. Come on. He's been defeated when you take God up on his word. Satan's always with us. There's always an enemy. Now, the harvest field, we tend to spend 2% of our time. Now, here's what I've seen. We've got intercessors. That's all of us are intercessors. Some answer the call stronger than others. But as intercessors, they are looking after the harvest field. We've got intercessors, but I've already seen a couple young evangelists starting to come forth. Can you feel it? We've got some young evangelists coming forth. Graham messed around and spilled it over on some in here. They can walk in or not. God's not mad either way. If you take him up on it, there's power there. As you see the evangelists starting to rise, intercessors, you've got to come on now. You see, you can't be an evangelist and an intercessor at the same time. Intercessors are the ones that look after the harvest field. The intercessors look after the pastor and the evangelist and all the other fivefold people. If you don't have the intercessors, our corporate, we can't move forward to the harvest field. Now, they'll keep us in a battlefield. And we're shooting each other and doing all this fighting, but it's nothing happening because we're not in the harvest field. Intercessors are important so that the evangelist can enter the harvest field. So I ask you, intercessors, you can hear a little bit of call of evangelism coming out of them. Write their names down. Give them protection as they go out into the harvest field. Let's look at our next one here so I can move on. Matthew 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let's look at this one. I'm going to move on quickly here. God himself is looking. Ezekiel 22:30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap. You see that one? Who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. You see, God is looking for those that pray. God is looking for intercessors. If nobody is on the wall for the land's going to fall. You can say, well, Alan, the United States is going to end up where it's headed. Well, the only reason it is because our intercessors have gotten off the wall. Going down is a natural progression of the lack of prayer. You missed a wonderful place to say, Alan, I agree with you. Can you see how important it is for us to pray? It's very, very, very important. Isaiah 59:16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Which fell first, the land or the intercessor? The intercessor. Scriptures indicates that. God himself seeks faithful intercessors. Psalms 14:2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand who seeks God. God is seeking the intercessor. He's looking for you. 2 Chronicles. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The enemy will be after your loyalty. Intercessors are those who can stir themselves up. Now look at this one. I don't go to sleep on me. This is not sleepy prayer time. Intercessors are those who can stir themselves up. Now here's what happens with intercessors. Intercessors will start going down, get discouraged, everybody quits praying, and they're looking for something to stir them up. What they don't realize, God's put in an intercessor what you need to stir yourself up. Amen, Elizabeth? That's right. You see, it's already in you. As long as you keep looking out instead of in, you're not going to get stirred. What's this one? It's in Isaiah. And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. Whereas you stir yourself up. Let me move on quicker here. Intercessors are watchmen who have been set in place by God, and they are very persistent. Now, here's the key thing. You have been set in place by who? By God. You didn't have a good idea one day and said you wanted to be one. God set you in place and you came kicking and screaming all the way. You finally agreed with it. Isaiah 62:6-7. I have set watchmen. That's God. On your walls, O Jerusalem, they shall never hold their peace day nor night. So if you come into a good intercession meeting and they're running around flagging and hollering and carrying on and shaking and flopping on the floor, just get out of the way. I don't understand it either. I've sat back and watched it and watched it and just glad it wasn't me. But my Bible tells me God's placed them there and they're not going to hold their peace day and night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest. Intercessors just supposed to aggravate the heaven out of God. Do not keep silent, give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Come on now. Huh? What do you think? Now, one thing, I'm going on here. Characteristics of a successful intercessors. They are persistent and usually loud. I have set watchmen upon thy walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye shall make mention of the Lord. Keep not silent. They have great faith. They are a selfless people. Their heart cried out to the Lord, O wall of daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Give your eyes no rest. The intercessor bears a sense of burden and responsibilities in Ezra. Now, while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing, weeping, and bowing down before the house of God. Can you see that? Praying, confessing, weeping, bowing down. That's what happens when you get around these intercessors. Nehemiah, so I was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now I'm going to move on. It's 10 minutes after 12. Can I have a few more minutes? Are you with me? Are you sleepy, bored, or hungry? Okay. I'm not going to feed you nor rock you to sleep. But James 4:3-4. You asked and do not receive. Why do we have unanswered prayer? Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. So we see we can pray and ask amiss. Why do we have unanswered prayers? What's this one? Unbelief, James 1-6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. You can say, well, Alan, sometimes I doubt. I do too. But the scripture says I'm not to let God rest. That's what it says. God says, according to his word, that I'm to bug him until I get it. That's what he says. I just read it to you. So how long do you do it? Till you get it. You just pray till you get it. Now, We can pray with a wrong motive. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's where we ask amiss. If we do not care for the poor. Now, this is a big one, church. Our prayers can go unanswered if we do not take care of the poor. It's in Proverbs. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Whoa. So those of you who have the burden for the poor, bring it to our attention more. We've got to look at this thing more about the poor. Unforgiveness is why we have unanswered prayer. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So unforgiveness is why we have unanswered prayer. Now, I could skip this one, but for a few of you in here, I will not. If husbands do not honor their wives, it's in 1 Peter. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Being interpreted means, if you do not honor your wife, God's not going to hear your prayers. Self-interpretation. Why do we have unanswered prayer? Because we have not a teachable spirit and we do not fear the Lord. Proverbs. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. If you don't have a teachable spirit, your prayers are hindered. Now, how can my prayer life be effective? Consider this one. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment that, what? Read it with me. We should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So when we say whatever we ask, we can receive, everybody leaves out the last part. We've got to love one another. So we need to take that and keep that in mind. Psalm says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. How do we have effective prayer? This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So we see that we can have an effective prayer if you do not have self-righteousness, but righteousness, if you know where your righteousness comes from, if we walk around with a haughty spirit, with a religious spirit, our prayers are just not heard. We must have humility, and I'm winding it down here. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Prayer without humility doesn't get past the ceiling here. And also it says it in Peter. We see that we will need more faith. So whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Romans, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I'm going to pray in faith, by faith, start praying the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is powerful. It's our greatest strategy. Now, I'm closing with this. Prayer must be persistent. Not to persuade God, but because there is an enemy. An enemy who must hear the prayers of the saints, declaring God's words to the heavens and to the earth. Now, here's what I want you to consider. Praying is not necessarily to persuade God, but it's declaring God's word to the heavens. Now, this book is laying right here. But this book's got to go through an amplifier, which is God's people. God's people is to take God's word and speak it into the heavens and into the earth. Watch it. Here's where you get your permission. Why are we to pray Scripture? It's in Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers where? In heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Everybody see that one? According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Do you see that scripture? We, the church, has given permission to speak out into the principalities and the powers of heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. When you pray, you're fulfilling Ephesians 3:10 through 12. Why do we pray Scripture? So we fulfill what the Apostle Paul said. It's in part of the mystery of Christ. It is through the church. Now I want you to watch this one. Numbers 14:20 through 21. This is my last slide. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy words. Talking to Moses, you know the story. They did the golden calf and all of that, and God said, Moses, I'm going to kill them. Moses said, God, I'd rather you did. You're going to give us a bad reputation. God turned around to Moses and said, Moses, well, I tell you what. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to what you said, Moses. I'm not going to kill them. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now, what do we do, intercessors, when we pray God's word? You see, the glory, God's promises, glory is coming to the earth. The glory of God is His Word. When you pray His Word and you speak it out into the principalities and the heavens, you are participating in the glory of God coming to the earth. Do you know what allows us to do the glory of God to the earth? It's called the grace of God. You see, the grace of God was God's greatest vehicle. It allows us, sinners, saved by grace, it allows us to be the agents of the Almighty God, to bring His glory to the earth, and to pray it, and to speak it, and declare it in the face of the enemy. I'm sorry he's here. I'm not trying to get you shot. It's the book. It's the Bible. You need to do it, and I need to do it. Let's just get on with it. What do you say? Let's declare the words of the Lord. Let's speak in it to the heavenlies. Let's stand. Let's sing, and let's worship. And as we worship, have in your heart, I hope that you leave from here today empowered with more truth of the Word of God. How we pray, why we pray, what are we doing when we pray? Why do we declare God's Word to the heavenlies? Because we alone, the Church of the Living God, have been commissioned, and it has been declared by God that He told Moses He's going to send His glory to the earth. Then all of a sudden He had this secret and He had this mystery on the cross of Christ Jesus. And He says, I'm going to have a group of people that they're going to be sinners. But He said, I'm going to send my Son to die for them because God said, Moses, I'm going to complete my glory coming to the earth. Somebody say, glory. Hallelujah. Do you want to be part of this glory? When we pray for people, if you're sick today, come up here and let some glory people pray for you. We'll pray Scripture over you. Where's my praying people? Come on up here. If you're sick and need prayer, you say, well, Alan, my finances are in bad shape. Well, come on up here. We're going to pray the Word of God over you. Did you know that? We're going to speak against the evil one on your behalf. We're going to speak against the evil one on your behalf. Lord Jesus, I pray that Your Word will be released through this congregation, through our lives. We'll never be the same. We'll learn Your Word. We'll pray Your Word. We'll speak Your Word. We'll declare Your Word. And God, we're going to bug You. We're not going to let You sleep till we see it happen. Because You said we could and You gave us permission. So Lord Jesus, we love You.